Today is the second Sunday in Lent. Scripture lessons are from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8 and 13 through 17, and the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Today's message is titled, Believe. It is written in the sacred scriptures, Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all his possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Here ends the first lesson. Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our father, discovered in this matter. If, in fact, Abram was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Now continuing at verse 13. It was not enough through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, "I have made you a father of many nations." He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Here ends the second lesson, the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, We know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son, his Son, into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The gospel of our Lord. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther. A simple sentence from Romans chapter 4. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Believed God, not believed the gods of the land that he lived in. He believed the one true God. When the living God came to him and said, as it is written in the sacred scripture, Genesis 12, beginning of verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Abram, leave your country. Leave your people. Leave your father's household. Leave the place you are living in. Leave all those things that you are familiar with. Leave all those things that you are connected to in that place. And go. Where? I'll show you. Go, and I will show you. Leave and go with no certain destination given. Leave and go. And it's with a promise. A promise there will be a place. Along with the promise of a place was the promise of becoming a great nation and a promise of eventually, through his offspring, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. Abram, leave and go to the land I will show you. Note, pay close attention to Abram's response. It's Genesis 12, verse 4. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. It's as simple as that. Abram left as the Lord had told him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Abram left. He did as the Lord told him, taking the Lord at his word. That is to believe. That is to trust. That is to have faith. Do you really ask your question this of yourself, really, really deeply and profoundly? Do you take the Lord at his word? At his word. That word of the Lord as recorded in the sacred scriptures. Do you take the Lord at his word that is recorded in the sacred scriptures? That word is to be taken as the word of the Lord. Would you listen to that word? Such that your life will be totally changed by that word. Abram did. And by believing the Lord, that was credited to him as righteousness. Believe. Abram believing, it took him on a journey, 75 years old, took him on a journey from everything that was familiar to new lands, new places, new challenges. Abram was not perfect. He was not perfect in this believing. Not perfect in his trust of the Lord God. I mean, in Egypt, Abram was afraid. In Egypt, Abram was afraid. I mean, a famine came to the land where Abram and the whole crowd was living. So they went down to Egypt to live for a while. Abram was afraid that they took a look at his wife and go, wow, she's gorgeous, that they would kill him to have his wife. Sarai was beautiful. They would take her. Abram had his wife lie, say, I'm his sister. Is that trusting the Lord? Is that believing God? You can read all about this. It's written in the sacred scripture, and actually it's in Genesis chapter 12, just after portions of what we read this morning. Genesis 15, we find the Lord God promised Abram a child from his own body will be his heir. The Lord told Abram to look to the sky, count all the stars if you can count them. I mean, if you want to see stars, you need to go out west where there's no commotion, no light pollution, no other that. Oh my goodness, wow. Have you ever experienced a night like that of stars? Well, imagine how many more stars Abram saw. Your descendants will be like the stars if you can count them. But Abram was afraid in moments. And he still, God came and said these things. So your offspring will be. Abram's response is what Paul was quoting in Romans chapter 4. It's from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abram stumbled in his believing. He stumbled in his trusting of the Lord. The promised child did not come as soon as Abram and Sarai thought the child should come. They became impatient in waiting. Sarai said, here, take Hagar to have children through her. We see there's ups and downs with Abram's believing, with Abram's trust, with Abram's faith. Yet with those ups and downs, Abram is the great patriarch of the faith. Or as Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, verse 1, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? Abram is the father of us according to faith. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace. It may be guaranteed to all Abram's offspring, not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. The promise comes by faith. The key word of this day is believe. Yet here we have words faith and believe. What gives? I'll show you. Believe in verse 3, Romans 4, verse 3, Greek word is pisuo, pisuo. It's Strong's number 4,100. The root word of pisuo, so you have these words together, pisuo, Strong's number, and the root of pisuo is pistis, Greek, Strong's number 4,102. So Romans chapter 4, verse 3, we have pisuo, pisuo. Romans chapter 4, verse 16, we have pistis. Verse 3 is translated as believed. Verse 16, translated as faith. Then in verse 17, we have believe again. Believe. All three of these words are all rooted together. Believe, faith, trust. They're rooted together. Look up John chapter 14, verse 1. And depending on the translation, you will find either the word believe or the word trust. And even sometimes you'll find the word faith. New International Version, John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. New American Standard Bible, 1995 edition, John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay, that's the exact same. But this is what's now. Believe in God, believe also in me. Believe is to trust, trust is to believe, and this is faith. Living out the believe, living out the trust is living the faith. Abram left his home in Haran. He traveled to the place the Lord showed him. At the great tree of Moreh in Shechem, the Lord appeared to Abram. Shechem is between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. It's in the central part of Israel, just southeast of Samaria. At that place, the Lord said, it's recorded in sacred scripture, Genesis 12, verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he, that's Abram, built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. The promised land was given to Abram's offspring. And Abram responded with worship. Believe leads to action. And this action flows from faith. A great explanation of this truth is actually found in the sacred scriptures. It's written in James chapter 2. A large portion, James chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 17 through 26. Because you'll start making the connections of believe, trust, and the faith. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, it was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Did you notice there in the middle of that? Abraham acting out in faith, the description given was Abraham believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. Believe, trust, live them out daily in life. That's living the faith. E. Stanley Jones, he was a missionary, an evangelist, an author, about 1920s, 1930s of previous century here. And through the years, he oftentimes said and wrote this: it is easier to live yourself into right thinking than it is to think yourself into right living. In other words, live the right way and it will become a part of you. Try to think the right way without living the right way. It won't become a part of you. Live life. Live life in the fullness of what it means to believe and trust God daily. And see what happens. See what happens to you. See what happens in you. C.S. Lewis writes in Mere Christianity, to have faith in Christ means, of course, trying to do all he says. There would be no sense in saying you trusted a person if you would not take his advice. Thus, if you have really handed yourself over to him, it must follow that you're trying to obey him. If you've really handed your life over to Christ and you really trust Christ, well, do what he says. Live out that. Obey him. It doesn't make sense to say you trust Christ and then you go do the exact opposite. It just doesn't make sense. Did you notice Lewis used the word faith and the word trust? Well, that's the same. Faith and trust, that's the same. To have trust in Christ could easily have written to believe in Christ. It all means the same thing. It all flows together because the Greek word pistis, that root word of it actually for pistis, it comes from a meaning. It means to believe. It means to trust. It means to have faith. And it means to be persuaded of God by the power of God, of the faith imbirthed in you. That's really the root of this. Believe, trust, faith, they all are tied together. What this means is examine your life and see what daily things you do. Are they of trust? Are they of believing? Are they of faith in God? Or are what you're doing is in rebellion to God? Because rebellion to God will lead to doubts, will lead to despair, will lead to confusion. It'll lead to walking farther and farther away, and more doubts, more despair, more angst, more agony of the soul. But there's hope. There is hope, even in that moment. And you can find those things happening in Abram's life. There were times Abram didn't trust. He doubted. Times of not believing and trusting the Lord God. And did you notice through it all, the Lord was faithful to Abram. The Lord was faithful to Abram and kept all the promises to Abram. Even Abram was given a new name, Abraham. And this man, Abraham, is the father of us all in faith. Doing the things of trust, of believing daily, it'll bring about a different you. A you that will be calmer. A you that will be more certain of the love of God for you. A you that will have hope because you have that new life in Christ. Faith fitness. Call it faith fitness. It's like physical fitness. Get up and walk daily. Do exercises daily. And your physical and mental health will improve and be better daily. Yes, your physical and mental health will be better if you get up and do exercise. Do it daily. Or you can sit on the couch and be a couch potato. And your physical fitness and your mental health will wane away. Intentionally do the things that daily show you believe. You trust. Show the faith is in you. And the things are pray, worship, tithe, and forgive the sins of those who have hurt you. Even those sins that are so hideous and terrible, forgive those sins. Because God has forgiven you of those kinds of sins. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a learned man, a leader of others in the things of believing. Out of fear of the others on the ruling council with him, Nicodemus, he sneaks through the city at night under the cover of darkness. So they don't know he's going to meet and find Jesus. Now, there's a lot we could unpack here in John chapter 3 in the interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus. But I'm taking you to the pivot point about believe, where that word believe comes in. It's John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. This historical event is recorded in the sacred scripture in Numbers chapter 21. With the Lord giving daily, the Lord God providing daily for the people in the wilderness. Great compassion and great display of power daily providing for them in the wilderness. The people Israelites, they were complaining of being brought out from Egypt to die in the desert, in this wilderness, complaining so greatly about that daily gift of the bread of heaven. It was spoken of in this manner, Numbers chapter 21, verse 5. They, that's the Israelites, the people in the wilderness, they spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." They detested that miraculous daily bread of heaven gift from God. "We detest this miserable food." The Lord sent venomous snakes into their midst. Or you could phrase it this way too. The Lord removed the protection from around the people because there's venomous snakes in the wilderness already. Well, venomous snakes coming into the camp. Well, what do you think happened? People were being bit and people started to die. Oops, we have sinned against the Lord. The Lord did not remove the snakes. The Lord instructed Moses to make a bronze snake and raise it up in the midst of the people. and gave this instruction. It's written in Romans chapter 21, verse 9. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Now, does this make medical sense? Not at all. Poisonous snake bite? Look up to the bronze snake on the pole and you will live. The emphasis is placed in believe and trust the words given from God. Believe the word of God given. You're bitten by a venomous snake? Look up and you will live. Note that the snakes were not taken away, nor the suffering of the bite. But the promise was given, look and live. John chapter 3, we know this event recorded in the sacred scripture is actual history as Jesus refers to it and uses it to point to himself. In a like manner, Jesus will be lifted up. Believe in him, that is, look, and you will live. Believe in him and you will have eternal life. John 3 verse 15. That everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. May have, that's not a good translation of the Greek. May have, that may is not in the Greek. The Greek translated may have, it really means to have, to hold on to possess. There is no iffiness of may in the meaning. No. Everyone who believes in him has eternal life. Everyone who believes in him takes hold of eternal life, possesses eternal life. Believe, and you will have eternal life. Just like Numbers 21, look and live. John 3, 15, believe. That means look, trust, faith, and you will live eternal life. Can I write a mathematical equation to prove this? You know, mathematical equations can be written for water systems, electrical systems, aeronautical systems. I mean, it's the same equations, all use different things. If you like integration and all that fun stuff, you can write mathematical equations to explain these things. But can I write a mathematical equation to prove this? That you believe in Christ and you'll live? You look and you'll live? This is not the realm of math nor the realm of science. This is the spiritual reality of being born again. Nicodemus questions, John chapter 3, verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Must be born again, Jesus said. Must be born again. These are heavenly things. And Jesus mentions that in John chapter 3. I talk about earthly things you don't understand. I talk about heavenly things. How will you understand? These are heavenly things. These are things of the Spirit and the work of the living God that credits as righteousness. In the mystery of our being, the Lord has portioned a part in us as believe, as trust, as faith. Believe the Word of God. Trust the Word of God. Live it out daily to the glory of God. Live the faith that is in you. In that spiritual wonder of being born again. Abraham did. And you can too. Believe and live it out daily to the glory of God. And you will have what the word of the Lord God promises. Forgiveness of sins and eternal life. You will have it because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. The finished work of Christ on the cross. Believe. Be filled with hope. believe and trust and live out this new life in you. Believe and know you are forgiven in Christ. And you have eternal life through the finished work of Christ on the cross. To the glory of God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.